While the kids are getting together, I hope God appreciates my sense of humor. I hope I have one. Ahead of time, I always try to read in my own Bible at home. The selection that I'm going to read is a liturgist. So I plowed right into it, and I thought, oh my God, I cannot read this. I have to call Joe and get out of this. There's no way. And then I looked more closely, and lo and behold, I was reading Ezekiel 5. Don't look it up right now. Wait until later. I was very relieved to find that it was Ecclesiastes, not Ezekiel, although I shall dearly miss the wheel seen whizzing in the air. Anyhow, this is the scripture reading today, and it is from Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 through 20. The lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. This also is vanity. When goods increase, those who eat them increase. And what gain has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of laborers, whether they eat little or much. But the surfeit of the rich will not let them sleep. There is a grievous ill that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owners to their hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. Though they are parents of children, they have nothing in their hands. As they came from their mother's womb, so shall they go again, naked as they came. They shall take nothing for their toil, which they may carry away with their hands. This also is a grievous ill. Just as they came, so shall they go. And what gain do they have from toiling for the wind? Besides, all their days they eat in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and resentment. This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun the few days of the life God gives us. For this is our lot. Likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possessions, and whom he enables to enjoy them and to accept their lot and find enjoyment in their toil, for they will scarcely brood over the days of their lives, because God keeps them occupied with the joy of their hearts. And that is the scripture.
So today we're talking about many of our favorite subject, money. And you probably somewhere in your childhood had somebody share a pearl of wisdom with you that goes like this. Money cannot buy you happiness. How many of you ever heard that? Somebody, yeah, you know that pearl of wisdom. And maybe Solomon is the originator of that idea, because as we look at Ecclesiastes 5, we're going to see that his theme today is truly that money will not buy you happiness. He says to us, money is a good servant, but it is a poor master. Money is a good servant, but a poor master. So in this text, he lays out five problems about money that we're going to go through today, and some of these may just resonate with you in your own experience of handling your money. The first problem he lays out is the more we have, the more we want. Have you ever discovered that about people and their money? Somehow we're just not quite satisfied with what's in the bank. And we'd like just a little bit more, because if we had just a little bit more, maybe life somehow would seem just a bit easier. You'd have a little bit more to spend at the end of the day, and wouldn't that make life better? John Rockefeller was once asked how much money did he want, and his answer was just like this. He said, just a little bit more. Well, we think somehow we would beat that. If we had just a little bit more, it wouldn't control us. But it will. And most of you have probably experienced that. Because if you get just a little bit more, you tend to go spending just a little bit more, and you end up in the same predicament you are with the amount of money you have now. So the more money you have, the more you're likely to spend it. Problem number two. The more we have, the more we're going to spend. Solomon's right on that. If you think about it, if you have unlimited income, you're going to go out, you're going to buy that bigger house, that better car, the higher tech gadget than the one you've got. And before you know it, you're going to be in the same dilemma you're in now. How am I going to pay for all of this stuff? And the more money you have, the more you've got to spend to protect it. Have you noticed that? The more money you have, the more you're going to have to figure out who's going to be your investment person. So you're going to have to hire somebody to come and help you manage your funds. And then you're going to find you have to build a bigger fence around your house to protect your funds. And before long, you're spending more money as you make more money. That's problem number two. That leads to problem number three. The more we have, the more we worry about our money. Have any of you had a sleepless night over your income? Have you ever had a sleepless night over your financial future, wondering just if you're going to have enough to make it? Maybe you've been awake at night wondering if you're going to keep the roof over your head or pay the mortgage or the rent. Maybe as you've gone toward retirement, you've wondered, have you saved enough? You've seen plenty of those commercials on TV that say, do you have enough for retirement? Or maybe you watch the stock market and see what your investments are doing and what your retirement fund is doing, and you get very worried, and so we can't sleep at night because we're worried about our money and how long is it going to go for us. And yet I venture to say I'm probably sitting in a room of people who are privileged enough that if you really need something, you can find a way to have it. And we're much more blessed than anyone else. And the next thing he says, the more, this is problem number four, the more money we have, the more we tend to be a hoarder of our money. The more we want to just kind of control it. I'm going to go back to John Rockefeller and tell you a story about his money as he was accumulating his wealth. And if you don't know this, John Rockefeller was the first person in the world to make billionaire status. And as he was accumulating all of his wealth, at age 53, he was so sick from his ulcers and worrying about what he had that all he could eat at age 53 were milk and crackers, because anything else was too rough on his stomach. Because he was too busy hoarding all of his accumulated wealth. Somebody, and I hope this became a good friend of his, was wise enough to pull Rockefeller aside and said, you know, you will view life differently if you start to give your money away. And at age 53, Rockefeller began his life of philanthropy. That also reversed his poor health, and the man lived on for another 40 years, simply because he let go of what he was hoarding and holding on to. The fifth problem about money, and this is the final one, says the more we have, the more we leave behind. Let me unpack this one for a little bit. The more we have, the more we leave behind. Think about how you use your money and the possessions that you have at home. And I want you to do one little simple exercise. When you go home today, I want you to look around the place where you live at your stuff. And if you got it stored somewhere else, go and look in your garage too, or think about what's in your storage unit or wherever else you may have parked some of your stuff. And here's the question. When you die, who is going to clean out your stuff? If you've ever done that for someone, a relative or a friend, you know it's probably one of the worst jobs, if not the worst job, there is. I've done it a few times, and it's no fun. Solomon said, and you've heard it said before, but maybe he's the one that gave us the words, "You're born with nothing, and you die leaving the same way. You're not taking any of this stuff with you." It's in Ecclesiastes 5. If anyone ever wants to tell you where that pearl of wisdom comes from, just pop open your Bible and show them. You're not going to take any of this stuff with you. So think about downsizing in the time you have left on earth. Because it will make somebody else's life much easier when they're grieving your loss and not trying to figure out what they're going to do to get rid of all of your stuff. So this also leads me to, what are you doing with your wealth? Solomon is wise enough to say it does not belong to you. Solomon is wise enough to know that your wealth came as a gift from God. So what are you leaving behind as a testament of your faith? In church, we speak of giving to God 10% of what we have. And yet most of us find that challenging to do. At a practical level, because if we set aside 10% of what we try to live on, many of us would be hard-pressed to live. But think about it in a different way. If you set aside 10%, that still gives you 90% to live on. And that's a large amount of change. You have to adjust your life to be a tither. You have to make some changes in what are your priorities if you're going to give God back a blessing that God told us God wishes to see. Not because God needs the stuff or the money either. It's the means for God to continue to bless. Because with that gift, He can send people out into the world like you and me to make a difference, to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to clothe the naked, to do the work of ministry. And that will you're writing, or that trust you've prepared, how much are you leaving to God? Is there a portion going to the church? Is there a portion going to one or more of your favorite charities that you know are doing good ministry out there in the world? What kind of statement do we make with how we view our money? What do our financial assets say about our priorities and our commitments? Solomon says the person who basically lives day to day, they earn what they need and that's enough. They're satisfied. That's a theme in Ecclesiastes, to learn to be satisfied people. He says those people sleep well at night. But those who are worried about their riches have a hard time sleeping at night. Our money is a good servant, but a poor master. If we're not careful, it will take over and master us. And it'll guide every aspect of your life if you're not careful. And Solomon says that's really not the way to live. Learn to live with what you have. Do you really need that more thing, that something bigger and better? That's what drives our economy. People are out there advertising all over the place, so you'll get that urge to have something bigger and better or newer or fresher, that somehow that's going to bring you joy and happiness. But when is the last time you bought something that smile that put on your face lasted more than a few hours or a few days? So I'm going to close with a story. I've shared it with you before in a stewardship sermon. I don't know when, and you may or may not remember it, but it bears telling again. A rich business tycoon was on vacation, a lovely beach area, and he was walking along the sand. And he happened to see a fisherman there. It was in the middle of the day, and the fisherman's boat was turned upside down. His feet were propped up on it, and he had his cap pulled over his eyes to ward off the noonday sun, and he was taking a snooze. And the rich tycoon went up to him and shook him and woke him up and said, "Why aren't you out there fishing?" And the fisherman said, "But I've caught enough fish for today, all I need." And the man said, "I don't get it. You still got a half a day. Why don't you get out there and catch some more fish? You could sell it and make more money." Well, fisherman asked, "What would I do with more money?" He said, "Well, you could buy a bigger boat, you could hire a crew, maybe you'd make that money and buy a few more boats and expand your crew, and before you know it, you'd have all the money in the world." Then the fisherman looked at the rich man and said, "Well, what would I do then?" He said, "Well, you could sit back and take it easy and have a vacation like me." And he said, "What do you think I'm doing right now?" My friends, it's a matter of perspective. Solomon gives us a wake-up call. If you're out of sync, get your perspective in order. Let your money be your servant, not your master. Amen.